طيب، بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. مكتبة الموحدين بالبحر الكاريبي يسعد تقديم الشيخ علي الوصيفي حفظه الله ورعاه في سلسلة محاضرات رد الدارمي على بش المريسي، وهذا في يوم الأحد الخامس من جمادي الأول 1442 هجري الموافق 20 من ديسمبر 2020 ميلادي. Muhyiddin Publications is pleased to announce a continuation of the lectures with Sheikh Ali al-Wasifi, حفظه الله ورعاه, on the refutation of al-Darimi upon Bishr al-Marisi. And that's on the day of Sunday, the 5th of Jumadi al-Awwal, 1442 Hijri, corresponding to the 20th of December 2020 Miladi. فليتفضل مشكورا مأجورا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قد تكلمنا في اللقاء السابق أو اللقاءات السابقة عن أن الله سبحانه وتعالى فوق العرش، وأن الله سبحانه وتعالى فوق العالمين جميعا، وهذا هو المناسب لجلال الله تبارك وتعالى وعظمة ذاته سبحانه وتعالى وكمال أسمائه وصفاته وأفعاله، أن يكون الله عز وجل دائما من خلقه ومستوى على عرشه سبحانه وتعالى استواء يليق بجلاله. والاستواء هو العلو وهو الارتفاع وهو الصعود والاستقرار، والمراد بالاستقرار أنه استوى بعد على العرش بعد خلق العرش، ولا يزال مستويا عليه، ولا يزال على العرش ولا يخلو منه العرش. ولو قلنا إن الله عز وجل ينزل إلى السماء الدنيا فهذا دليل على علوه سبحانه وتعالى، ونزوله إلى السماء الدنيا بغير مخالطة ولا حلول لا يعني أن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد خلى منه العرش، فهو يقدر سبحانه وتعالى أن ينزل إلى السماء الدنيا دون أن يخلو منه العرش. وقد قال شيخ الإسلام رحمة الله عليه، قال فإنه لو خلى منه العرش لما كان عاليا عليه، والعلو صفة ذات لازمة لله سبحانه وتعالى، ولا يمنع ولا تمنع معية الله عز وجل سبحانه وتعالى للخلائق، في قول تبارك وتعالى وهو معكم أينما كنتم، وفي قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي بكر ما ظنك باثنين الله ثالثهما، وقول الله تعالى فيما قاله النبي لا تحزن إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. فالمعية هنا معية حقيقية كما قال الشيخ الإسلام، ولا تعني المعية الحقيقية بأي صورة من الصور أن يكون الله سبحانه وتعالى مخالصا لخلقه، لا تعني المعية، المعية بمعنى المصاحبة. والله عز وجل كما كان في دعاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اللهم أنت الصاحب في السفر والخليفة في الأهل، فهو مع كونه صاحبا لك في السفر فهو خليفة في أهلك سبحانه وتعالى، وهذا يدل دلالة حقيقية أو دلالة واضحة ومفسرة على أن المعية لا تعني الحلول ولا تعني المخالطة. وقد ذكرنا في قول الله تبارك وتعالى محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار، فهذا نوع من المعية لم يقتضي أن يكون الرسول داخلا في الذين معه، وقول الله تبارك وتعالى يا مريم اقنتي لربك واسجدي واركعي مع الراكعين لا تعني أنها في داخل الراكعين، بل هي معية بمعنى المصاحبة. والمصاحبة في حق الله سبحانه وتعالى تختلف عن المصاحبة في حق البشر، فكل صفة من صفات الأفعال وكل صفة من صفات الذات قائمة أو متعلقة بالله سبحانه وتعالى دائمة الظهور أو أنها تظهر في وقت دون وقت، هذه الصفة إذا عندما تضاف إلى الله عز وجل فإنما تضاف إليه بما يليق بجلاله سبحانه وتعالى. ولذلك وعندما تضاف الصفات إلى البشر فإنها تضاف إليهم بما يليق بهم من النقص والفناء والضعف والوهن وغير ذلك. الشاهد أن تغير الذوات يترتب عليه تغير الصفات، فوجه الإنسان ليس كوجه الفرس، ليس كوجه النهار أو أول النهار، ليس كوجه الكعبة، فكل شيء له وجه يختلف عن وجه الآخر. فإذا كان اختلاف الذوات المخلوقة يترتب عليه اختلاف الصفات، فما بالك بالفارق بين صفات الله عز وجل وصفات المخلوقين. فلا تعني المعية أبدا الحلول، ولا تعني المخالفة. وإذا قلنا كما تقدم إن الله سبحانه وتعالى ينزل إلى السماء الدنيا، فهذا دليل على علوه. ولو أن أهل البدع قالوا إن الذي ينزل هو رحمة الله عز وجل، فإذا كانت تلك الرحمة صفة من صفات الذات، فنزول تلك الصفة يقتضي نزول الله سبحانه وتعالى. وإذا كانت تلك الرحمة مخلوقة لله سبحانه وتعالى، يعني هي من مخلوقات الله وأنها تنزل، فلا شك أنها تنزل من عند الله، فهذا دليل على علو الله سبحانه وتعالى. وهذا مما أقحم به شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية الذين ينكرون علو الله على العرش، والذين ينكرون نزول الله عز وجل سبحانه وتعالى إلى السماء الدنيا بغير حلول ولا مخالفة. هذا باختصار ما تقدم وبيانه في أن الله عز وجل فوق العرش، وأن الله عز وجل يشار إليه، وأن الله عز وجل له أشرف الأماكن، وهو أنه فوق العرش. وإذا قلنا إنه في مكان فلا نعني بذلك أنه محصور في هذا المكان وأن المكان يحيط به، بل إنما نعني أنه فوق هذا المكان. إذا قلنا أين الله، يعني نسأل عن مكانه، فإننا نقول فوق العرش، والمراد هنا أن العرش هو المكان وأن الله أعلى من العرش سبحانه وتعالى. ولم نقل إن الله لا داخل العالم ولا هو خارج العالم كما يقول الجهمية، لا يثبتون لله عز وجل مكانا بزعم أن إثبات المكان يقتضي التجسيم ويقتضي التحيز، وهذا كلام باطل قد تقدم بيان بطلانه قبل ذلك في الدروس الماضية. والذي يسأل عن الله ويقول هو لا داخل العالم ولا هو خارج العالم، فهذا يتكلم عن معدوم وعن شيء لا وجود له وعن عدم لا وجود له. العدم ليس بشيء، فهذا قولهم إن الله لا هو داخل العالم ولا هو خارج العالم، لا يستطيعون أن يقرروا هذا الكلام لا بالقواعد الأصولية الشرعية ولا بالقرآن ولا بالسنة ولا بالفطرة، ولا يستطيعون ولا يقدرون أن يقولوا هذا الكلام لعامة الناس، لأن عامة البشر قد جب لهم الله سبحانه وتعالى وفطرهم على أنه في العلو سبحانه وتعالى، وأنه يلتمس من جهة العلو، وأن الإنسان إذا استشعر حاجة أو طلبا أو سؤالا من ربه تعالى ذكره، فإنه يتوجه بقلبه إلى جهة العلو. وهذا أمر مفطور عليه سائر البشر، مؤمنهم وكافرهم، وهذا أمر لا يستطيع أن يدفعه أي متكلم من المتكلمين، لأن العلوم الفطرية علوم ضرورية، والعلم الضروري علم قطعي لا يرد ولا يستطيع أحد أن يرده، مثل العلوم المحسوسة الثابتة التي يراها الإنسان بعينه فهي علوم قطعية، وعلوم الاعتقاد أيضا علوم قطعية في مسائل الاعتقاد قطعية في الدلالة، والعلوم القائمة بغلبة الظن الراجح الذي لا يوجد دليل يرده، كل هذه العلوم تعد علوما قطعية يحتج بها في إثبات العقيدة الإسلامية. هذا باختصار ما تقدم بيانه في أن الله عز وجل، إذا قلنا إن الله عز وجل استوى على العرش بحد، فالمراد هنا بكلمة الحد أنه بائن منفصل عن خلقه، بائن منفصل عن خلقه. وإذا قال بعض أهل السنة بلا حد ولا غاية، فمرادهم أنه لا يعلم لصفاته كيفية، ولا يعلم لها هيئة معينة، ولا يعلم لها هيئة معينة. فالله عز وجل له ذات لها كيفية معينة، وله صفات لها كيفية معينة، وله أفعال لها كيفية معينة، ولا يستطيع أحد أن يدرك غايتها وغاياتها، ولا أن يستطيع أن يدرك حدها. أما الذين قالوا بالحد فمن أئمة السلف، فإنهم قصدوا من ذلك أن الله تبارك وتعالى منفصل عن خلقه، وبينه وبين خلقه حجاب من نور، وحجب كثيرة، حجب كثيرة، وحجابه النور لو كشفه لحركت سبحات وجهه ما انتهى إليه بصره من خلقه. والله عز وجل له حجب، حجب لا يكشفها، وحجب يكشفها. فرداء الكبرياء من الحجاب الذي يحتجب الله عز وجل به يكشفه سبحانه وتعالى في جنة عدن ليراه المؤمنون في جنة عدن. أما الحجاب الذي هو من نور لو كشفه لأحرقت سبحات وجهه ما انتهى إليه بصره من خلقه، فأئمة السلف قالوا إن هذا ثابت في الدنيا وثابت في الآخرة، فلا يستطيع أحد أن يدرك كنها الله سبحانه وتعالى من كل جهة. وهذا نفي الإدراك هنا لا يعني نفي الرؤية. إذن هناك حجاب لا يكشف أبدا، وهو الوارد في قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حجابه النور لو كشفه لأحرقت سبحات وجهه. قال ابن عباس هذا في الدنيا وهذا في الآخرة. وقوله تعالى لا تدركه الأبصار، أي أن الإدراك منفي في الدنيا والآخرة، ونفي الإدراك لا يعني نفي الرؤية، لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى يكشف رداء الكبرياء عن وجهه فيراه المؤمنون في جنة عدن فيزدادون نورا على نور. تفضل.
نعم شيخ حفظ الله صار بسم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We have talked in previous meetings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the throne. He's above al-alameen, mankind and jinn combined. And that is what is appropriate to His might and power subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is also His Highness subhanahu wa ta'ala is only befitting of his that of himself and the perfection of his attributes, his names and his actions. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stays clear and separate from his creation. And he is above his throne subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that's only appropriate to his might subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say al-istiwa, as the Shaykh of Allah said, al-istiwa is ascension and in a way firmness and stability, meaning, or istiqrar in Arabic, What that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the throne, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascended his throne in a way that is befitting of himself subhanahu wa ta'ala after he finished the creation, and he's still above his throne subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, when we say as people of Sunnah and Jama'ah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend to the heavens in the last third of the night, it only indicates his highness subhanahu wa ta'ala. That does not he physically come down to the first heaven on the last third of the night. That also indicates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never mingles with his creation and never is between or amongst his creation. Also, it does not mean that the throne of Allah is ever void or empty of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather Allah is always above his throne subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable to come down to the first heavens on the last third of the night without emptying his throne, without leaving his throne, as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said. But also it means the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the throne does not mean Allah is not with his creation. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, and he is with you, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever you may be. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in the hadith, or spoke to one of the companions in the hadith, what do you think of two that Allah is the third, when he was talking about him and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about that hadith in the Quran, and he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to Abu Bakr, La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Do not feel sad, O Abu Bakr, verily Allah is with us. So the fact that Allah is with us is real. But it does not mean that Allah mingles with the creation, or Allah is part of the creation, wal-iyadu billah. Here, al-ma'iyyah, or referring to Allah being with us, it means companionship. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the lack of a better translation, is with us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the dua, O Allah, you are the companion in my travels, and you are the one that I leave in charge of my people behind. Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar wal khalifa fi al-ahl. So pay attention to this dua. Even though you are calling upon your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala as a companion to you in your travel, yet at the same time, he is khalifa in your people. He is in charge of the affairs in your people that you left behind in that travel, both at the same time. That indicated, as the Sheikh said, that's a proof for al-ma'iyyah, that Allah is always with us. That indicated that Allah is always with us. But it does not mean, wal-iyadu billah, what people of bid'ah refer to as al-hulul, that Allah is always physically with us. And it does not mean also that Allah mingles with the creation. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Muhammad Rasulullah wal-ladhina ma'a, ashidda'un ala al-kuffar, to the end of the ayat. Verily, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are severe upon the disbelievers. Rahama'un baynahum, merciful amongst one another. Also in the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking to Maryam or Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ alayhi salatu wassalam, he said, Ya Maryam, uqnuti li rabbik. O Maryam, pray to your Lord. Wasjudi warka'i ma'a raka'in. And make sujood of prostration and make ruku' along with those who are making ruku'. If you look at these ayat, as the Sheikh said, hafidhahullah, that did not mean exactly or physically Maryam making salah with those who are making salah. Yet our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding her to do so, to be classified as one of those amongst those who are making salah. It does not mean physical existence, but it means similarities or companionship, for the lack of a better word. But yet, as the Sheikh said, حفظه الله, the matter of companionship regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is totally different than the matter of companionship regarding mankind. Matter of fact, every attribute, whether that is an attribute of action or attribute of essence that deals or that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether that is an attribute that we know of, that is permanently known or permanently obvious to us, or it shows from time to time to mankind, it's only appropriate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is only described in accordance to the sunnah in a way that's appropriate to the might and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is totally different from any attribute that deals with the creation. If any attribute, for example, is added to mankind, it actually appropriate to the deficiencies and weaknesses, etc., etc., from the attributes that belong to mankind. In other words, the Sheikh said, as a rule to keep in mind, تغير الصفات يكون بتغير الذات. The changing of the attributes is due to the changing of the entity, or is in accordance to the change in the entity. In other words, the attribute is different in accordance to the entity that it belongs to. Simple example for this, face of a man is different from the face of an animal, is different from the face of the Kaaba, etc., etc. So if an entity is different, that will lead to the attribute being different. So how about the huge, amazing, humongous difference between Allah, the Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His creation with all the deficiencies that we have? Going back to the matter of ma'iyya, the matter of physically being with us, or the matter of being with us, that does not mean al-hulul. And pay attention to these words, because people of bid'ah play with these all the time. Al-hulul refers to that Allah is physically, is in everywhere. Al-ma'iyyah refers to Allah is with us, but it doesn't mean that Allah is physically with us. If we say, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the first heaven in the last third of the night, it only means the highness of Allah above His throne. People of bid'ah, people of innovation, of course, will say otherwise. Wal'iyadu billah. If we say, for example, if we mention just one attribute of Allah, referring to the matter of rahmah, matter of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy of Allah, for example, if it was created by Allah, no doubt comes down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a creation. But also, there's the rahmah of Allah as an attribute that never breaks away from Him, because it belongs to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet, each and every one of His creation will feel that rahmah in one way or shape or form. This is what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmahullah burnt the people of innovation with an argument. And this, in brief, what we have talked about earlier. And just to summarize what we just went over here, in precise points, the first important point, most important point, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the throne, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is pointed to Him through the hearts of His creation. To Allah belongs the most honorable places, that is above the throne. And if we ever say that He is somewhere else, that does not mean He is limited to that place, or He's encompassed or surrounded by specific physical space. But rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again is above the throne, and the throne is above all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the throne, it refers to the highest place above all of the creation of Allah, and Allah is above that throne. And we do not say that Allah is part of the world or outside the world, as some of the Jahmiyyah mistakenly state. This, of course, is total falsehood, as has been mentioned in many lectures before. And whoever is asked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't answer him like the Jahmiya answer and say, oh, he is not part of this creation, neither outside, he's not inside the creation, neither outside the creation. Because that definition of theirs in reality is referring to a non-existence, to something that doesn't even exist, or to nothing, the way they stated. And they cannot even come up with a single proof from the Quran or the Sunnah, or even in accordance to the natural disposition of mankind. They cannot even say that to the layman of the people. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of mankind upon the fact that He's high above His throne, that He is the Most High subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see it amongst the people, believers and disbelievers. If they ever have a dire need of the Lord, they turn with their hearts towards the heavens, towards the Most High above them, whether they're believers or disbelievers. And this is a matter, as the Sheikh said, that nobody can refute, even if they are the best of philosophers, because knowledge from the natural disposition, al-ulum al-fitriya, or knowledge that is based upon natural disposition, is actually knowledge that is necessary, that everybody is created upon. And just to stress that point even further, necessary knowledge is beyond any doubt, cannot be refuted, and nobody can ever change that, because it's the kind of knowledge that every creature is created upon. Another example is physical knowledge, or physical sciences, or the sciences that have been established by the consensus amongst the people, based upon a most prominent evidence, for example. That same kind of knowledge, that kind of knowledge also can be used, as the Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah, to confirm and prove matters of aqidah, or certain matters in the belief of the Muslims. In brief, what we have talked about in previous classes regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Highness the Most High, that if we ever say, as people of the Sunnah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ascended His throne and remains above His throne till our present day and time, and will always be above His throne, yet He is separate from His creation. If anybody says, for example, from the people of Sunnah, and pay attention to that point, if anybody from the people of Sunnah said that Allah is separate from His creation without any limit and without bila had wa bila راحت مني الكلمة الله المستعان أو بلا حد وبلا مكان. If any of the people of Sunnah mentions and says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is separate from the creation without any limitation and without any space, a particular physical space, that refers to the fact that we as believers do not know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above His throne. At the same time, we are just stressing the fact that Allah is free of any physical limitations that we know of as creatures of Allah. That also refer to the fact that Allah is separate from His creation. We do not know how that is the case. We only know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfect attributes, beautiful names, and actions that has a particular embodiment, if you want to call it that, but nobody from the mankind, nobody from the creation of Allah can ever comprehend its limits or its objectives or how it is. Nobody. Again, I stress that point. From the creation of Allah can ever comprehend or encompass the limits and the objectives of the names, the attributes, and the actions of Allah Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if one of the scholars of the past predecessors said, for example, or when he's defining that, he said, bihad, meaning with a limit. That only means, the Sheikh said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, is separate from his creation, with a veil amongst many veils. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, with a veil of light. And that's just one veil amongst many veils that Allah has between him and his creation. If Allah ever takes away that veil of light between him and his creation, then the beams of light from his face would burn his creation altogether. Another veil that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has between him and his creation is called Rida' al-Kibriya, or the cloak of pride, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that away, or will remove that veil between him and the believers in the highest level of the paradise, so the believers will see him on the day of judgment to bring joy to their hearts. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the other veil that we talked about, the veil of light, then the beams of light from his face subhanahu wa ta'ala will burn everything that exists. But when we come to this, as the Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah, we cannot refute any of those veils that Allah had mentioned about himself either. Because if we negate the comprehension of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that does not mean we negate seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, negating the comprehension, when we refer to how these attributes are about and these names and actions are about, that does not mean we negate the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is, for example, hijab al-nur, the veil of light, that nobody can ever comprehend at all, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned. And nobody can ever see that kind of veil either in this life or in the hereafter. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, لا تتركه الأبصار, that the sights of mankind can never see him. Meaning that the comprehension of mankind can never comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his might and power. But we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that veil away from his face for the believers to see him on the day of judgment. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Naam ya Sheikh.
نكتفي بقى بهذا القدر وان شاء الله ثلاث اسبوع جاي نتكلم في القران
باذن الله تعالى. جزاكم الله خير يا شيخ, بارك الله فيك.
كويس يعني, كويس الحمد لله يعني, خير قدر كويس يعني.
الحمد لله. نعم, هي المادة ما شاء الله غنية يعني بصراحة بالمعلومات, فشرحها بالإنجليزي
صعب.
نسأل الله التيسير. نعم,
الحمد لله. الحمد لله خير, ربنا يوفقك ويعينك.
آمين, جزاكم الله خير شيخ.
الله يبارك فيك, جزاك الله كل خير. وبعدين احنا بقى قعدنا فترة, فنبدأ كده يعني ايه, واحدة واحدة نتدرج في السلم حتى آمين. نصل الى ان شاء الله. وبعدين بقى انا بحاول اختصر المفيد قوي من الكتاب, لان الكتاب فيه يعني حاجات مكررة كتير.
الحمد لله في التكرار يفيد الشطار.
ربنا, ايوه صحيح, ربنا المستعان ان شاء الله.
الحمد لله, جزاك الله خير
ان شاء الله. الله يحفظك ويبارك فيك, جزاك الله كل خير.
واياكم
تقبل الله صالح الاعمال.
امين يا رب العالمين. من نعمك. طيب, مع السلامة. الله يسلمك. السلام عليكم.
الله يبارك فيك.
طيب هذا الشيخ حفظه الله said in today's material since we had an absence of almost a month in case you have not noticed الحمد لله شيخ حفظه الله said we will just stop here for today and then we're gonna start building up again little by little بإذن الله تعالى next classes every Sunday as well as try to actually eliminate some of the repetition in the book as you probably have not noticed if you have not noticed there's been some repetition on certain points and يعني as we say back home in the land of Islam repetition benefits those who are actually skilled the more repetition the more skilled they become at the information بإذن الله تعالى at the benefits جزاكم الله خير and in conclusion I say anything that I said that is correct is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and anything that I said that is not correct is only from myself and or from the shaitan and also I like to say to each and every brother and sister that's been making dua for me and my family جزاكم الله خير for all your dua and all your support and everything else without mentioning names that has been alhamdulillah supporting us. Jazakumullah khair wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.